Joining me to talk about this is Sean Sheestrand. He's been teaching for 12 years.
Have you noticed a decline in learning retention on a year-to-year basis with your students? Have you noticed, or do you hear, is there a lot of talk among teachers about that? Like, can you give some insight on that?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if I would classify it as a decline in learning retention.
Okay.
I think more what I've noticed, this is, like I said, this is my 12th year. So what I've noticed is that student behavior and habits are definitely changing. And that's been interesting to observe. I mean, over the course of, you know, a decade plus, this current generation of students, I mean, generation is a little bit too vague, but this current group of high school students that are currently in high school definitely have some challenges, I guess you could say, and that are possibly getting in the way in increasing levels in terms of them being ready for college. I think that would be fair to say. I don't know if it's like a capability thing. I think it's more of the environment that they're around and the increasing nature of the social pressure that they face with social media, the access to which they have knowledge and information almost anywhere. Obviously, you know, a big thing you hear a lot of students talk about now is AI and artificial intelligence and how easy that is at home to access and write papers and get answers. So I just think that their environment has changed so much. I don't know if it's like their capability and learning retention as much as it's just more, they're kind of victims of the circumstance, I guess. COVID obviously is a big player in that factor as well.
Okay. All right. So, and I've seen a lot of talk among teachers on social media and Twitter. A lot of them will talk about how some students, like, they'll get students in, like, you know, sixth grade that they're not very efficient, not at their grade level when it comes to reading and writing stuff.
Sure.
Do you see a lot of students with that? Have you encountered that, a lot of students with their reading and writing skills not up to par? What's your thoughts?
I would say definitely more with the writing skills. I think it ties back to, like, I've noticed when I have my students write and I read through their writing, it's just very informal. And I think that's a product of how they communicate. You think about how these kids communicate, and it's a lot of texts and snaps and captions and right. And it's like the grammar and the you know, these kids aren't writing like well-composed emails that you might think, you know, previous generations were probably writing a little more of, and they're not communicating in that way. Everything's very informal. And I mean, I'll have kids that in essays will put a smiley face in there, you know, and it's just like, that's not, you try to help them see, like, that's not really the type of language you use in an essay. You don't write LOL in an essay. But it's also like, can we blame them? Like, that's their language, right? That's how they are reading and writing. They probably, this is my guess, this is a total opinion, but they're probably reading as much as any group of kids before them in terms of just the amount of words they're processing throughout the day, right? With the text messaging, I mean, they're constantly reading, but it's just a different type of communication that they're being exposed to that just gets ingrained in the way they communicate. So that is the one biggest thing I've noticed is these kids will write something like an essay or a paragraph or a journal entry, and it's just very informal. It's, you know, they don't hesitate to literally write, ha ha, you know, after they tell a joke, or not capitalize the beginning of a sentence, or, you know, things like that, where you have to make a little bit more of a concerted effort to go, hey, wait, guys, let's talk about how this is formal writing and how some of these things aren't really acceptable in formal writing. But then, you know, I've had students before say, like, well, why? This is how we communicate. Like, why is that a problem if I write that? It's understood by everyone. It's a common part of our language. And I'll be honest with you, in some ways, I've kind of grappled with that idea a little bit I've even had emails from colleagues here in my professional setting that include an emoji or two, or, you know, and it's just like that. I think that's just kind of how language is trending a little bit. So, yeah, I would say it's kind of two sides of the same coin. Like, on one side, a little bit concerning for sure. That like they're lacking a little bit of this ability to write formally and professionally and a little more grammatically correct with a little bit more, you know, poise in their writing. But also it's like, well, if this is the direction that things are going and this is the way that people are communicating, then is it that much of a problem? I don't know the answer to that, but those are the two ways of thinking that I, you know, I kind of find myself thinking about a little bit.
Okay. All right. So I know you're not primarily, or at least you're not primarily a math teacher, but you know, you probably have been around the math department. You probably have heard a lot of conversations. It's usually a high.
Yeah, I have
a big conversation on Common Core math. What's just your thoughts on that? You know, there's a big debate. A lot of people say that it's no good, that it's actually done more harm.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then there's a lot of supporters of it saying that people need to, or students need to show their work and be able to understand how it all works and stuff. Do you think that is a factor? Does that play a role later on when kids go off and do college? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's another good question where I feel like I'm kind of torn a little bit because in the interaction I've had with math teachers, and I have a brother who's a sixth grade teacher, so he's responsible for teaching math to sixth graders. And he has a math endorsement, so he's a math guy. And he would tell you, and I think a lot of the math teachers would tell you, that with the Common Core way of doing math, it actually does help students. If they can learn how to do it, it is beneficial for them in terms of just understanding the concept of how this math is working. But I think a lot of the negativity has been parents look at it and go, I don't really know how to do this. And I can relate to that. I have a fifth grader, and she's in an accelerated learning math class, and she's a fifth grader. She's 10 years old, and she brings home math problems and is like, here, can you help me do this? And I'm like, I know how to do that, right? Give me a calculator. I can tell you the process of how to do that. But the way her teacher wants her to do it, I genuinely have no clue. I don't have the slightest clue how to help her. And so that is a little bit of the frustration I've heard from parents, is that they don't really know how to do that. So they can't really help their kids. So if a kid comes home and is like, hey, I don't know how to do this, well, what's their options? I mean, they could, you know, you can YouTube or maybe call someone that knows or something like that. But, you know, it's definitely nice for parents to be able to feel like I can help my students, especially the young ones, if I need to. And that's been one of the struggles, is it feels like a lot of parents are frustrated that it seems a little bit unnecessarily complicated, I think would be one way that parents have put it. I haven't had a lot of students complain about it. And part of that might be they don't know. What do they have to compare it to? You know, they don't have anything to compare it to. But it kind of goes back to the language thing. Like my daughter is doing this math, and I'm like, I can take her 4 minutes to do this problem. And I'm not against that. I don't have a problem with that. I want her to be able to develop those critical thinking skills and logic, you know, problems, to be able to solve these math problems and go through the process of understanding the math. But there's also, I think it's a valid question to say, like, hey, if basically everyone has a calculator in their pocket nowadays and can do this math like that, is it really all that necessary to know? I don't know. I tend to lean towards yes. I still think it's important for kids to develop that side of their brain. But I can understand why some people are like, is this really necessary?
Okay. All right. So, all right. My next question is, do you think tests and essays are still as effective today as they were in the past? Do you think that is the best way to understand student learning or to get a grasp on that? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely think that your traditional testing method is not the best way to have students prove what they've learned. There's some value in it. It's easy to collect data. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would never advocate for the complete departure from some of those things. And in general, kids face tests, you know, that they have to just be able to work through that kind of thinking and pressure, and, you know, they need to know how to strategically solve multiple choice questions. Like that's an important skill in and of itself, but there are more effective ways to have students show you and prove what they've learned and what they know than answering like a multiple choice test. Or a traditional essay test or something like that. I think this current group of students, is they thrive a little more on, you know, creativity, being given a little bit more freedom to express how they know something or what they've learned about something. And I think a lot of the teaching world has moved more towards kind of like project or portfolio based assessment rather than your traditional testing /essay format. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I think those are great methods of assessing kids that allow for a little more creativity and maybe autonomy, self-exploration from the students, which we know, you know, education research suggests that, you know, memorizing answers and facts for a test is not really deep levels of with the same score. And deeper levels of learning, you know, for those that are really searching for that, usually you need to have some bigger form of students being able to show what conclusions they've come to of their own thinking that they've kind of been led to by the teacher, and that they're able to kind of express that in different forms rather than just, you know, memorize some vocabulary words or memorize a spelling test or memory, you know. Not again, not that that's not important, but I think there's better ways to demonstrate deeper levels of learning than traditional tests and essay.
Okay. All right. So my next question, and you touched on this a little bit earlier, but to kind of go further into it, how much has COVID-19 put everyone behind? I mean, you hear that they bring it up in the media all the time. They're saying COVID-19 really... A lot of people suffer, not just, you know, just with academics, but also socially and stuff like that. And there's a lot of drawbacks because of it. Have you seen that? Have you been able to verify that? Do you think that really affected the high school the kids that were just in high school going off into college? Do you think they're the victims of all this? Or what are your thoughts?
I definitely do. I do think it was a setback for everybody. I think the younger, this is my own theory on this, but based on some of the research I've seen, I think my theory on this is that the younger the kids were when this COVID shutdown happened, the more impact it had on their schooling. So, you know, the kids that were in first and second grade, that's a real, you know, missing 3 months of school and then that following year being so impacted by COVID. That had a huge impact, as opposed to maybe, you know, the kids that were seniors and pretty well on their way out the door, probably not as big of an impact. So the kids that I have right now, you know, I have a group of seniors right now that would have been in eighth grade. If I'm doing my math right, would have been eighth graders when this happened, or ninth graders, maybe, you know, somewhere in there. And the group of sophomores that I have right now would have been, you know, sixth or seventh graders at the time. And I think the younger they were when COVID happened, probably the more likely it was to impact them and their learning. And that might be one of the reasons why, you know, some of the research has shown a decrease in math scores and literacy scores for the first time since like the 60s. You know, we've traditionally been able to kind of improve these scores slightly. And across the board in the United States, those scores have dropped a little bit. And it's like it coincides directly with COVID. Now, you know, is that the causation? It's hard to know, but you'd have to assume that as a factor. It seems like too strong of a correlation to see that chart and see the dip in those charts exactly at the time point when COVID hit and not at least assume that those are correlated in some way. But I do feel like it had an impact. The other thing I would add is beyond the learning capabilities, one of the struggles that I think we've seen here in Utah, at least, is it's led to some attendance issues. And I think one of the things that COVID kind of created is a little bit of a culture of like, it's not as important to be in class as previous groups of students believed it was. And so we are, you know, for the first time really in my career, we are as a school, we're really starting to come back to the board and say, as a group of teachers, say, hey, the biggest thing that's impacting these kids right now is a lot of them are not coming to class as much as they should. And that's impacting their learning more than anything, because there's a lot of research that suggests, hey, you go to class and you somewhat pay attention, you're definitely more likely to get something out of your classes and to learn better than the kids that aren't. And, you know, the system we had here in Utah was that 3 month shutdown at the end of the year in March, 2020. And then the subsequent year, it was a lot of like, hey, if you can't make it or you're not feeling good, even slightly, just do the assignments online. And the teachers were really highly encouraged to have everything available online. And that's good. That was a good exploration for teachers to kind of figure that side of it out. But I think most teachers would agree that, at least here in Utah, that what that also created were a lot of students where they just thought, well, I don't need to go to class. I can just get the assignment online. And the problem with that is you start to miss a lot of the context. You know, when you're not in the classroom, you miss a lot of the context of, you know, background knowledge and all of the types of things that can help you scaffold and build on what you're learning. And if you just do the assignment online, you're just going to miss a lot of that. So I think that's one of the other issues that this has kind of created a little bit is teachers are coming back to the drawing boards and saying, how do we kind of rebuild that culture of like, you need to be in class and you need to be here paying attention and focused and learning. And that's the expectation for kids. And they're kind of operating under the idea that like, I don't really feel like going to class, but it's not really that big of a deal because I can just get on online and do the assignment. And I think that's a problem.
Okay. All right. Great. Wow. So I have a few more questions. So,
sure.
Okay. So actually, no, one more question. I'm sorry.
Totally good.
I'm going to ask this one. This one's kind of important. So how much is technology is a distraction for students today? And another part of this is too, because there's a lot of people that were saying that, you know, a lot of schools ditched textbooks way too early and then they switched over to Chromebooks and stuff. And now students are getting way more screen time than ever before, especially at school and stuff. And then, you know, it used to be where school was a place where students could get a break from screen time. Now they're at school getting screen time. Do you think that has kind of had an effect in some ways? Or do you think the whole technology, everything is just kind of overblown? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I do know that there's been some large scale studies that have showed schools and classrooms that are implementing technology typically have produced better academic outcomes. And so I think there's some research to suggest that technology can be good. It unlocks a level of visual learning and creativity that we didn't have before. It also can help teachers be a little bit more efficient in their assessment and in their teaching. And it's a language that these kids speak. So they're comfortable creating a slideshow, you know, they're comfortable creating a video and making that as part of their, you know, learning. And that's okay. Those are all tools that can definitely be used to enhance the classroom. But I also do think it's a very valid concern to wonder about the amount of screen time kids have. There's obviously a lot of research that suggests that can have an impact on kids. And then also just the general idea of kids having so much technology at their fingertips with social media and their phones. I would wager that everywhere across the country, high school teachers would all alike say that kids having their phones in class is a major distraction. And that's a battle that we constantly face. I mean, literally just today, a couple hours ago in my first period, I said that, hey, let's put our phones away for just a minute. Let's stay with me on this. We're having a little discussion. And so it's kind of this constant thing of like, we want to use technology to enhance our students' abilities to learn and to connect with them in ways that are natural for them. These kids are technological natives. They've grown up with this technology and are familiar with it and really comfortable with it. And it can be used for really, really good purposes in the classroom. I've seen teachers use technology to do virtual tours of museums and other places and things of that nature that are just really, really cool. But then it can be a little bit overwhelming, I guess. And you know, imagine if a kid's on their Chromebook in every one of their classes, that's a lot of screen time. That is concerning. As a parent, that's a concern for me. You know, are my kids going and just sitting in front of a computer, you know, for large portions of the day? That's a concern for sure. I would prefer as a parent, I would prefer that's a balanced approach to having that technology be accessible, but also not becoming something that the kids are just relying on so heavily that they're experiencing negative impacts of some of the technology and screen time. A very valid concern for sure.
Okay. All right. And my last question. Okay. So You know, there's a lot of studies or reports out there now that say that there's a lot of students in that go to college that are required to take pre-college classes. A lot, you know. So, well, let's kind of touch on that a little bit, on why you think that is, and what do you think could be done to get everything on the right track so more students are ready for college?
Yeah, great question. I think it's a complicated answer. I think there's a push in high school. I know in our high school and a lot of local high schools in the area, there's a push to have kids taking classes that are college level, whether those are AP classes or concurrent enrollment classes, et cetera, where they can kind of see and feel what it's like to be in a college class, kind of be exposed a little bit to that learning environment and maybe that level of expectation and the type of work and focus that maybe goes with college classes. The other thing that I've seen, and just this is just maybe getting some feedback from students, is that some of them seem to think that those classes have been easier than they expected, and some of them have felt that it's much harder than they expected. And so I think there is something to the fact that it depends a lot on what kind of classes and what kind of field and what kind of professors these kids are taking, on whether or not they may or may not feel ready for college. What I would like to see is, and I don't know this off the top of my head, but what I would like to see is how are kids' grades in college and retention rates in college? Are kids, at what rates are they dropping out of college in the freshman year? And, you know, if we could look at that through the, if that kind of data through the years, we may have a better understanding of, you know, if these kids are ready and to what level. I typically, my unresearched, to be making up phrases here, my unresearched thoughts on if they're ready or not would be a lot of them are and a lot of them aren't. And I think it's a problem that a lot of them aren't. How we get those kids to be more ready is I think we need to get back a little bit to expecting kids to be in class, to try to create this culture where being in class is more important, getting the learning face to face. I'm a big advocate of that. I know I don't have a problem with online classes or anything like that. I think there's those are some good available options for people. But I think that in their public school education setting, it's more important for students to be attending their classes, get the context information that's presented to them, to have face to face with their teachers, to be able to navigate some of those challenges and get some of that extra learning that happens in a face to face setting to help them prepare better for college. Even if some of the colleges are online, there's I feel that they would still be would be better prepared. If the culture were to take a little bit more of a shift towards, you know, being in classes more and being present more for your classes, it seems to be, you know, on my end that that's such a major issue right now. And I would wager that that's maybe one of the factors why there's some assumption out there that kids aren't ready for colleges, aren't ready for universities is you know, this is a really, in my heart of hearts, really honest answer. I hope I don't get flamed for this, but I think it's really easy in a high school nowadays for kids to pass their class. I think it's really, really, really easy for high school kids to pass these classes. Extremely easy. You know, you don't even really have to go to class that much. You can just get online and kind of keep up with the homework a little bit and pass your classes fairly easily. And so the bar has been, you know, at the risk of sounding like the old guy, get off my lawn type of thing, the bar has been kind of lowered a little bit for these kids. And I don't necessarily think that's the best thing for them, especially in terms of the conversation being, you know, how do we get these kids ready for college or, you know, trade school or whatever it is they're doing, jumping right into working. Like, you know, lowering the bar for kids growing up is usually not the answer. And I feel like that's maybe a little bit of what's happened. And it's not anyone's fault. I'm not blaming legislators or teachers or parents. I think it's just, you know, blame it on COVID or blame it on a changing world and changing culture. I just, for whatever reason, it feels like that's kind of what's happened a little bit is things have kind of become easier. Social pressure has increased, and maybe that's why is there seems to be a lot more social pressure for these kids, and they deal with a lot more mental health issues, and that's obviously been widely discussed and talked about, and should continue to be. But it also feels like at the same time the academic level that we expect them to be at has lowered a little bit. And that would be a concern of mine for sure in terms of getting kids ready for colleges and trade schools and careers.